Amen. Gene, thank you for that. That was beautiful. And just really was a worshipful song that you played. Thank you for your worship today of the Lord and your just the spiritual energy that you have to give to the Lord in worship today. Thank you for that. It encourages me and it calls me to worship the Lord with greater fervor and energy myself. So that's good. Thank you. I'll turn to James in the New Testament, the fourth chapter. We're continuing our journey through James. And as we've gone along, a word that keeps coming back to me is this. What is it that James is doing in his word to us? And it feels like that he's rearranging. And so the words that the Lord speaks through James is doing some rearranging in me. And I want to let you know that it's not just something that I think needs to happen in somebody else. It's something that I recognize God is doing in me. So praise the Lord for his good work. I want to share from verse 1 to verse 10 in James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet. And yet you cannot get what you want, so you're back to quarreling and fighting. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you're asking with wrong motives. When you ask and you do not receive, you'll spend what you get if God gives it to you to acquire pleasures. Verse 4, you adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity or opposition or hostility toward God? Therefore, if anyone who chooses to be a friend with the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that God jealously longs for the spirit that he has caused to dwell within us? And he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter to mourning. And your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Thanks be God for his word this morning. Here's the Jerusalem church struggling with what it meant to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus would have ascended no more than 30 years prior to this. And so these believers were very close to the time when Jesus was on planet Earth. And yet this group of believers were struggling in their following Jesus. They're struggling with a familiar way that was known to them in terms of how they lived in that time and place, in that world. They were familiar with the ways of the world, and it seems that they were more familiar with some of those ways than they were with the ways of the one they worshiped, Jesus himself. And so verse 1, James talks about fights and quarrels that were happening. Verse 2, on a little further in verse 1, he talks about the desires that were like battling, not between people, but actually within people. And so there was this kind of connection to the ways of the world that were evidencing themselves in the life of the believers there in that church. Verse 2, you desire these things that you cannot have, and so you kill to acquire them. Now, you can think about that as your worst case scenario. You're actually killing someone to acquire something that you want. But sometimes it's that you go about doing everything you can to destroy someone, short of taking their physical life so that you can acquire something that you desire that they have. So you desire it so much, you might would even be willing to kill that person. Verse 2, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. The ways of the world. And so because of that, verse 2, you're back to fighting and quarreling. Your prayers, they're very very superficial. They're very insignificant prayers. You ask God, but you do not receive because you're asking with wrong motives. And if you did receive from God, verse 3, James calls out, you're going to take what you would receive from God and you're going to spend it on pleasures. It was a way that people in that church in Jerusalem, they were familiar with. Perhaps more familiar than with the ways of Jesus himself. These describe a worldly way that was very familiar to the church, which might be fine if the church was just like an organization that people were a part of, an affiliation that they chose to associate with like-minded people, knowing that when they gathered, they were going to be together with people who were like them. They talked like them. They thought like them. They lived like them. That would be fine if these things were just common in the experience, except for one thing. The church is none of those things. James says this, people of Jesus, you are married to Christ. He actually words it even stronger in verse 4. He says this, you are adulterers. If these things are true about us, we are adulterers, James says. Don't you know that friendship or affection or fondness with the world means enmity or hostility or oppression or opposition against God? Something concerning was happening between Jesus' people and their relationship with the church. Once again, the things of the world were encroaching into the life of Jesus' people. And there was a need for some rearranging. And it wasn't James that was going to be doing the rearranging. It's the Holy Spirit. Something was happening to their hearts. And it was causing them to make choices about their affections, about their affiliations. James says this, therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Remember that what they were choosing, what they were making choices about, the things that their hearts were connecting to, were causing quarrels and fights about worldly things, causing a way of being as people of Jesus that did not lead them to prayer. And if it did, it was very superficial kind of praying, insignificant and inconsequential kinds of praying, causing their spiritual lives to be fueled by wrong motives and ending up in a place where it was the world's ways that were pacifying and pleasing them. And essentially what James is calling out is that your hearts are married to the world, and it's adultery spiritually because you are married to Christ. And he calls it out. This was the life they were choosing. And it was not life according to the Spirit of God. So James does some rearranging. In verse 5, he points out that God had placed his Spirit within Jesus' people. And that the presence of the Spirit brings about something different than the world's ways. This world that we live in, that we're so familiar with, that we're so acquainted with, sometimes we hate it, sometimes we love it. But this real world that we live in, it seeks to draw our hearts toward it and away from Jesus. It happened then, and it happens now. And James wants and believes that some rearranging is in order, and that God has placed His Spirit within His people, and that the presence of the Spirit brings about something different than the ways of the world can bring about amongst the people of Jesus. Remember, it was the ways of the world manifesting themselves in the people of Jesus. And so James calls for some rearranging. Because the Holy Spirit's presence is a union. You could think about it kind of as a spiritual marriage between God and people. And that union brings about a communion with the Lord and His people. Paul talks about that kind of union between Jesus and His people. He talks about the church being the bride of Christ. The fact that we have the Holy Spirit of God in us establishes a kind of relationship between us and God. And we are the bride of Christ. And what James is calling attention to for that church in Jerusalem is that you have lost sense of your identity as the bride of Christ. You have been committing adultery against Jesus with the world. And it cannot be that way. The Holy Spirit's presence is a union between God and His people. And that union brings about the kind of communion between the Lord and His people that we most desire. And that is a deep kind of communion. Because the people were choosing the world over the Lord, James calls it out, "You adulterous people." And maybe James wasn't just talking to them, he was including himself in that group as well. I think any preacher must see themselves for who they are. You adulterous people. And it's not in the text, but maybe it's there. And I'm a part of you, James might would have said. You're giving your affections, your fondness to the way of the world. And that is alienating you. It's putting you in opposition to the way of God that we know in Jesus Christ. For James, there is a different way for Jesus' people. Rather than giving your affections to the world, rather than being fond of the ways of the world, give your affections to Jesus. Be fond of His way. It's not an easy way. Matter of fact, sometimes when I feel like things are going okay and I'm comfortable with my life, it seems like that Jesus speaks up and aggravates me and irritates me and reminds me of something that I don't want to be reminded of, because I had found a comfortable place to live and reside in this world. In Jesus, you're upsetting me. God's word comforts the afflicted, and it afflicts the comfortable. James says, give your affections to Jesus and be fond of His way. Choose. Now, it's not there in the text, but I think you can hear James asking of the people, choose close communion with Jesus. Choose that. This word is for me. And this word, I believe, is for us today. James might as well be living and speaking today. Because if we're not paying attention, if we're just going through our lives and if we're not really paying attention to what's happening in us, our affections, our fondness, our way can be too focused on, too given to a way that is marked by the world and not marked by Jesus. Quarreling and fighting, that's the way of the world. Shallow praying with wrong motives, that's the way of the world. Remaining comfortable with and comforted by worldly ways and being pleased by it all, these put us at odds with God's way. What we're choosing, then, if we're choosing the world's ways, what we are really choosing, then, is hampering close communion with Christ. It's kind of like James is giving a choice to the people. Once again, the world or Jesus, you choose. But you can't have it both ways. And you're married to Jesus. You're even called his bride. And you continue to commit adultery with the world. And he doesn't use these words, but it's like he's saying, my brothers and sisters, there has to be some rearranging that happens in us because we are looking and sounding a whole lot more like the world than we do like Jesus. And he doesn't say it in the text, but I can almost hear him say it. It's only been about 20 or 30 years since Jesus was with us. And we've already lost the way. If we're not paying attention to what's happening in us, what we're choosing may be hampering close communion with the Lord. You see, in doing that rearranging, James points the people back to verse 5 and says that God is jealous for us. He always has been. Even in the Old Testament, God was a jealous God, jealous for his people, because the gods of the world were drawing them away from him. And even in some sense, in some of the prophets, God was one that would go out after his people to lure them back to him, to show that he was the most attractive, he was the most powerful, he was the most pleasing. And don't go for the false gods of this world. Come back to me. It's all through the Old Testament as God worked with his people. And it is here in the New Testament. God once again pleading with his people, seeking to draw them back to him by whatever means he could. Luring them back to him to say, choose me, not this world. Verse 5 tells us that God is jealous for us. He's jealous because he's placed his spirit in us. And he has done that in order to bring us together with him in close communion. The Spirit of God is within us to bring us into deep communion with God. Just like the image in Psalm 1 of that tree planted by a river. Those roots that grow down deep to find a place of nourishment. Deep communion. Deep connection. That is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit works in us. He establishes deep connection with the Lord God. He's jealous for us. He's jealous to have close communion with his people. No more cheating. We can't live in the same house together with cheating going on. The Lord says, no more cheating. God is jealous for us. God is jealous for us to choose him. And so choose this day close communion with Christ, not anything that the world would have to offer you, as pleasing as it might taste. God makes his desires known to us. He is jealous for us, and he makes sure that we know it. And now, We, once again, are given the grace, of God to choose communion, not the ways of the world. Even the choosing of communion with God is a grace that He gives us to desire Him more than the world. We have the grace to choose close communion with Christ, to choose the kind of closeness with God that alters us, that changes us, making us new and different. The kind of closeness where Jesus can work in us and abide with us. Now, as I wrap this up, James points us toward this path of deep communion. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what you mean by deep communion. Do you mean having a really serious Lord's Supper? I mean, what is deep communion? James points us to this path, and it is a surprising path. It always is. This path of deep communion with Christ, it is not loud or boisterous. It slips by very easily from our attention because there is so much that speaks louder than the whisper of the Spirit. And so James points us to this pathway of deep communion with God. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says this, "Submit yourselves then to God." That's the first step on that path of deep communion. It is us being in a posture, in a position of choosing submission to God, submitting ourselves to God, resisting the devil. You might could also think about that as saying resist the pull of the world that's tugging at you and wanting to draw you away from Jesus. Resist the devil. Jesus resisted the devil, and James says the same thing will happen. The devil will flee. He fled from Jesus, and he'll flee from you. Verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Do more than that. Do more than confession. Do more than purify. Grieve. Do more than grieve. Mourn. Do more than mourn. Wail. Stop laughing about this. Mourn. Stop seeking things of joy yet. See the gloom of choosing the world over choosing Christ. Verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. It's almost as if James completes the thought. The very things that he was suggesting that the believers in this church were after, that might would lift them up, that might would prop them up. James comes around at the end and says, with submitting and humbling of yourself, you give God the opportunity to give to you and to provide for you and accomplish in your life more than what you could ever hope for. He will lift you up. Praise the Lord. This is the one thing perhaps the Jerusalem church needed more than anything. Humility. Enough humility to quiet themselves and listen, which is what we heard about in chapter 1. Enough humility to be done with anger and quarrels. Enough humility to really see all people as persons and not as positions, like they did in chapter 2. Enough humility to see and hear the power in small and quiet things of God, like God calls attention to in chapter 3. Enough humility to crucify themselves, to take up their cross daily and follow Jesus. to crucify themselves and their pride and submit themselves to God. That maybe what the Jerusalem church needed all along was humility. And that what today the church needs still is humility. Enough to crucify ourselves and our pride and submit ourselves to God. That is when deep communion between us and God happens. And it never really does until humility comes. When humility leads us to submit to Him, when humility leads us to long for Him as He longs for us. People, whether we like it or not, we are married people. We are Jesus's people, His bride. And our way in this world is to be His way. May the Holy Spirit continue rearranging us until we are a people familiar, not with the ways of the world, but with the ways, the words, the will, and the workmanship of Jesus Christ. May we pray together. As we come to a close of this time of worship, might we pay attention to what the Lord has to say to us from His Word. Might we pay attention to it and hear it and see it and open ourselves to it. God, You have placed Your Holy Spirit within us. And You are jealous for us. And You long for communion with us. And we want it too. We want deep communion with You. So Lord, help us with our humility before You. Lord, form us so that submitting to You, Lord, it's not normal. But Lord, You cause it to become familiar. Lord, place a longing for You deep in us. And if there's anything or any way operating in us that would give You reason to be jealous, rid us of it. We want faithfulness more and more to mark our walk with You. In Jesus' name, and for Your glory, Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Church, let's stand together as we express our